All right, welcome in to hour number two of the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106 through the game. We got you till midnight. Big Joe here alongside Big Kenny behind the glass, Elijah Campbell down the line. Oh, it's going to be a great night of high school football. Many thanks to Fred Burnett, head football coach at McGavick, Brian Rector at Father Ryan, and Junie Riddle, who's our Game Blitz reporter down in Waverly for the updates and what's happening tonight and kind of the great insights. But as we do the top of the bottom of the hour, let's give it an early scoreboard update. Hit it, Kenny! Who needs coffee when you got the theme for Magnum PI? Here are the games that are around area tonight involving teams in Middle Tennessee. We got Smyrna at Beach, Pope John Paul, Brentwood Academy, Clarksville at Cane Ridge, Whitwell at Clay County, Blackman at Coffee County, Bledsoe at East Robertson, McCauley at Innsworth, Dresden at Fayetteville, DCA at Friendship Christian. That'll be a big game. We got Loudoun taking on Giles County, Adamsville, I wrote it twice, Silverdale at Lipscomb, Christian Brothers at NBA, Page at Mount Juliet, Riverside at Mount Pleasant, Trinity Christian at NCS, White County at Nolensville, Lebanon at Oakland, Hardin County at Pearl Cone, Fairview at Smith County, Red Bank at Stowe Memorial, East Nashville, Waverly, and South Greene at Yoak. Teams that are playing on the west side of the state tonight, Brentwood at Bartlett, Portland versus Henry County, Middle Tennessee Christian at Jackson Christian, CPA at Lausanne down in Memphis, Marshall County versus Lexington, and Springfield versus Mumford. Games on the eastern side. We've got scores already. Chattanooga Christian 14, FRA 0. That's in the first quarter. Upperman and East Hamilton tied at 21. They just went to the second quarter. Six touchdowns already scored in that game in a quarter and a half. Right. And Knoxville Webb 7. Points. Davidson Academy 0. That is the games in progress right now. Of course, the games in Middle Tennessee not kicking off till 7. And the western part of the state right there kicking off as well at 7 o'clock eastern part. And that's your Game Blitz update. This Chattanooga Christian team is really good. I talked with the coaches at FRA earlier this week. They were worried about Chattanooga Christian, how good they are. And he's right. They're down 14-0. But our Upperman at East Hamilton, six touchdowns. And is Upperman and Stone, are the only two teams remaining from that region, Elijah?
They are. The Upper Cumberland region of death that produced four really good playoff teams is now cut to two. And I infamously, a couple weeks ago, Joe said that that region could have all four wins because I disrespected East Hamilton and Red Bank. And I think East Hamilton beat DeKalb and Red Bank beat Macon County by the same score, 21-14 in both games. And now East Hamilton gets to host Upperman. Upperman having to go to East Hamilton, not an easy drive. Having to go to East Hamilton, scenic, but not easy. Having to go there tonight, and they, 42 combined points in one quarter. Joe, I hope you and the other degenerate gamblers there took the over. In all seriousness, if you have a problem, call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. But thanks. That one's exciting already. Like 21 points for each team. Like Upperman runs one of those offenses that – When they're on a roll, they can't be stopped. Like they block so well. They have so many multiple talented runners too. And like they play some of the fastest games this year. Our guys Rusty Ellis and Noah McKay from the Upper Cumberland Reporter have told us, you know, they've wrapped up some games in an hour and a half because they're so good at controlling the clock. Well, East Hamilton apparently can do that too. And they're, you know, 42 points in one quarter. I think this one's going to be a couple hours tonight, Joe. This might be our first overtime watch of the evening because we have a region champ against a region champ-esque team in Upperman. So yeah, that one's fun already. That's an adrenaline rush.
Right. Our Junie Riddle we just talked to says that East Nashville DN Teon Curry tackles run in the backfield on the first play to set the tone for East Nashville. And then on third down, interception by Rolando Braxton for East Nashville and Waverly against Waverly. So East Nashville's got the ball deep in Waverly territory. That's the kind of update we need, Junie. That's what we need on this show right there.
Yes, that is perfect. But wow, I mean, well, that's one of the things that we figured, right? I mean, with an inexperienced offensive line, you're going to have to be a little more advantageous in the field position game. And what better way to do that than to pick off your opponent in their own territory? That's better than a three and out and them getting a punt and then dictate where you get to take the ball. So that's an incredible start for East Nashville. I'm sure Coach Stewart could not have drawn it up, you know, in any better way. So let's see if they are able to take advantage of that. Like Junie told us in the last hour, that some of their shortcomings have been in the red zone. Some mistakes in the red zone cost them against Riverdale and Smith County, the only two losses they've had this year. So tonight we already have the first opportunity to be able to right those wrongs from earlier in the regular season.
You know, we talked to head coach Jamal Stewart, East Nashville, after they lost to Riverdale back on October 21st and lost 30-12. And he didn't say it, but I think he implied, like, we needed this butt kicking. And, you know, he blamed himself because he was sick all week and wasn't there with the team and everything. But he said it just, like, you know, we've been on the high end of things. And now to see how it feels going to that locker room, you've got your butt kicked, isn't a good feeling. And then, you know, they battled Smith County the next week and lost by a point. And that's something to shake your head at. That's a great program at Smith County, as you well know, Elijah. And now they had a tough game against White House. And now they start the tone early with Waverly. But, I mean, he's talked about in East Nashville, the scrimmages during the regular during the preseason, you know, scheduling a Riverdale, scheduling a Green Hill, to Father Ryan, to let these guys know about other programs, and, you know, it's going to be tough out there. So nothing's going to phase this East Nashville team tonight.
Exactly. Hey, I guarantee you there's not a team in 3A that's more battle tested than East Nashville, right? Like, they're at an 8-2 record, 9-2 record now after the playoff win. But those 9 wins, if we're doing, you know, like something like ESPN's fancy schmancy strength of record schedule metric, I mean, in 3A, East Nashville would have the highest by a significant margin because they've beaten some really, really, really good teams, Joe Dubin. This is nothing that they're like there. If there's anything that East Nashville isn't going to be going in this game, scared is not one of them. It's not going to describe this team adequately. An update that I just got as well. One of our main Game Blitz reporters, Teron Davenport, most known as a Game Blitz reporter,
right.
Teron Davenport, says NBA already forced interception early, an interception by Christian Brothers thrown on their own 23-yard line. So East Nashville, not the only team given a short field for their first possession. Marcel Reed in the Big Red have a short field to start with on their first possession of the night.
I would say Teron earlier tweeted out a NBA getting ready, and I replied back to Teron. By the way, if you don't follow Teron Davenport, ESPN reporter, he's simply fantastic. He's great insights.
Yeah, you're not a Titans fan if you don't.
Great information. He's fantastic. And I said, hey, Teron, thanks for being our Game Blitz reporter. It doesn't pay much, but it'll get you the best seat at the best restaurant. So he needs to know that, Elijah.
Yeah, he does. And this, you know, what better publicity than you get than to come on and chat with a couple chumps or give us some inside information. This is how, you know, people start off in this business. I can foresee a good future for Mr. Teron Davenport.
It is. We got a score update. By the way, Brady McTamney on Main Street Preps says that Cane Ridge has already scored. They're up 7-0 on Clarksville. Took a screen pass 9 yards from Cane Ridge TD in the opening drive. 7-0 over Clarksville. Cane Ridge starting, setting the tone early. I mean, that's you want to do it on a second round like this. Get them early. Get the team out of their game. Get them nervous. And Cane Ridge has already struck early, man. Wow.
That offense, I mean, you know, both coaches we had on tonight tell us that offense, they don't play. I mean, that is an offense that can hit you with the pass game. They can hit you with the run game and the athletes they have that they have. I mean, so Jalen Johnson's one of the best athletes in the entire state. And if you want to talk about pure two-way football players, that dude is that dude, and he's making a difference already. York strikes first. They score a touchdown on their first possession against South Greene. Bryson Bilbrey, a 6-yard run with 8:29 to go in the first quarter, PAT pending. And then, of course, right on cue, Marcel Reed, 18-yard touchdown run. So some scores already happening here within the first 11 minutes of games being kicked off.
That is just amazing. Oh, we got an early – it's on the eastern side of the state, but – the Elijah Campbell running clock is already in effect. Sweetwater's over McMinn Central, 48-6, just with the halftime. You know, for once, I would like the score to double, and so Sweetwater wins 96-12. For once, I'd like that to happen.
Where they're on pace to do something, and they actually do what they're on pace for, because we've had some of those games this year on the east side. East Tennessee's had some Twilight Zone-esque football going on this year. Knox West had a 50-point lead at half against Cock County earlier this year, literally on pace to beat them 100-0. Why can't we just get that, like a doubling of something?
I'd love that. It'd be great. Let's go back to the Elijah Campbell phone lines right now, bringing our friend Lance Mackey, who's at that Cane Ridge and Clarksville game. Lance, what you got, brother?
What's up, guys? We had a Cane Ridge Ravens won the toss, received the ball, and with a steady dose of a run game from senior running back Reggie Goodlow, drove all the way down the field, scored a touchdown on a real nice wide receiver screen to senior wide receiver Byron Davis, 7-0 Ravens. That was a real good looking drive from the Ravens there, man. I mean, they were mixing in a lot of good running paths. Looks like this is going to be a pretty good one here today.
Hey, Lance, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you follow me on Twitter?
I do.
No, he doesn't, Elijah. I checked earlier. He doesn't follow me on Twitter.
Oh, this is hard. Lance, no.
Can we rectify that?
I'm sorry, man. I'll effort that here when I get back to the booth, all right?
All right. Thanks, brother. Lance with the update there. All right. Lance at the Cane Ridge Clarksville game. All right, we'll take our first break. Oh, by the way, another score real quick. Pearl Cone scored 65-yard touchdown catch early on. They're leading Hardin County 7-0. All right, we got more scores, more everything for you. Coming up next, we'll take another break right here with you till midnight. Midnight right here. This is the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 of the game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy. We just got a great update. Thank you, Elijah, for that. Gordonsville up 14-0 on South Pittsburgh, the defending state champions. That's outstanding. 14-0 early, but well done by Gordonsville. So, Elijah, thank you for that. That's kind of a shocker so far of the night early on.
That is. I mean, South Pittsburgh, obviously, like you said, the defending 1A state champs, and they've ran through a lot of their games this year. They've had some of the more impressive outcomes of any defending state champ so far, and they're obviously looking to reclaim their title. And Gordonsville, who would be hosting a game tonight if they didn't lose to Clay County in their region championship game, basically. So they've had to go on the road to South Pittsburgh and up 2 touchdowns already. That's one to monitor tonight, because that would be a pretty big upset, and two evenly matched teams. Even the upset, I'm putting in air quotes, because Gordonsville is an incredible team, but it's just one of those deals where the regions line up to make this a second round game. This easily could have been a state semifinal game. So that's definitely one to keep an eye out tonight. I've got a Twitter follow that I am definitely refreshing just to get updates on that game. So that's a fun one.
Well done. All right. We got a special. Am I reading this right? Our friend Paul Jones, former sports director at Fox 17, is in town. Listen to the show. Paul, it's like old times. Welcome back to the Game Blitz, Paul.
Joe, it is great to be with you once again. I used to think back fondly to all those Friday nights where I would call in frantically on my way back from high school games to give you the latest updates there. And, I was just driving around Nashville tonight in town visiting some family and heard the show and just wanted to call and say, you know, what an awesome job you continue to do to shine the spotlight on high school football. I mean, your passion for this game shines through every Friday night. It's such a valuable service you're giving to a lot of listeners in Nashville.
Well, Paul, I wasn't going to cry tonight, but now, dadgummit. Well, I can't do it without the help of Elijah Campbell and Kenny helping me out here tonight. Man, this is great. It's like old times, from years ago doing this. You know, it's funny. When I think about you in the game, once it hit me, you know who comes to mind is Jalen Hurd for some weird reason, because because back in 2012 and 13, especially 2012, Paul, I mean, every highlight was led with Jalen Hurd because he had like 500 yards and eight touchdowns that game. That, for some reason, that just comes to mind tonight.
Yeah, that's a great call, Joe. I have really fond memories of that as well, heading up to beach to check out the Buccaneers. And, you know, he was a highlight machine. And I remember when they made it to the state title game, I think it was in Cookeville, if I'm not mistaken, he had another just incredible performance. And I think you and I were both there along the sidelines, just kind of shaking our heads at watching what he could do against these defenses. I mean, you know, it was the proverbial man against boys kind of thing with Jalen Hurd a lot.
Oh, man, it was good times. Paul, I can't do the show without Big Kenny behind the glass and my co-host Elijah Campbell. His passion for high school football equals ours. So, Elijah, say hello to Paul Jones.
Hey, Paul, appreciate you joining us, man. Glad to have you listening along and even more excited to have you on talking some ball with us.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Elijah. And, same goes to you, too. I've caught, much of the show tonight. I mean, you have Fred Burnett on from, as you referred to, the Fighting Joe Dubins. You had Brian Rector on. He was always one of my favorite coaches when I was covering high school football in the Mid-State. So kudos to you as well for being a part of this really great venture.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun. It's definitely been a venture for sure. Doing a show with Joe here for 6 hours each Friday night. We can have a lot of fun and get a little weird, but one question I have for you, obviously you've have a passion for Tennessee high school football. You've covered it for a long time. And, one of my favorite questions to ask anyone who's been in this great state, for any length of time and has gone to high school football games, your favorite atmosphere or maybe the most unique venue you've gotten to see, because there's a plethora of them across the state. I have a few that that I have in mind is some of my favorite, most unique venues and atmospheres that you get to experience. But if you had to pick one or two that might have provided the most unique experience or maybe the best atmosphere that kind of screams quintessential high school football, what places were those?
Boy, a lot come to mind, Elijah. I tended to go to a lot of the same schools on Friday nights because as the sports director at Fox 17, I was the one who had to get back to the station the quickest. So I didn't always have the opportunity to venture out far away from the downtown area, you know, West Nashville, that kind of thing. So my answer is probably, you know, impacted by that a little bit. I do have fond memories of Tommy Owens Stadium, and I know that's not a thing anymore. It's been, revamped and made even nicer than it was back in the day. But I have a lot of fond memories of the atmosphere there for many reasons. One, it's just a beautiful campus, as you know, and you know, the stadium itself was in such good shape, and they treated me really well in the press box. I mean, anybody that came to cover their games, they treated well. And I think MBA has one of the best announcers, not only high school, but anywhere in the country that I've ever heard in Chip Hoback. It was just a pleasure to cover games there. So that would be something that would come to mind early in my thinking on that. Toward the end of my time at Fox 17, though, I remember we had a Friday night where we had a World Series game on, and we weren't going to go on until really, really late. And I said, you know what? This is the time I'm going to get to some school that I have never been to in 15 years here. And I made it to Greenbrier to cover the Bobcats, and it was a torrential downpour. But there was it was a playoff game, and there were tons of people there, and that was a great atmosphere as well. So, it's not just the schools that are real close to downtown Nashville, but it's the ones in the outskirts a little bit where they have that community pride and it's on display every Friday night. And I have really fond memories of that as well. Oakland, Kevin Creasy was always a pleasure to deal with. So I really, think back fondly to those days. And really, almost every high school I ever covered, and I'm sure it's similar for you guys as well, one of the beauties of it is there are very few egos involved, unlike when you're covering the NFL or some college football programs. You could call the day of needing a story, and they'd say, okay, yeah, come by in 30 minutes. I'll be ready. You know, they just were so great. They wanted the attention, and they did it. They bent over backwards to help you, and that made you want to just shine the spotlight on them even more.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And you mentioned NBA earlier. They, for those who need an update, Claiborne Richards, an 11-yard touchdown catch from Marcel Reed. They're up 14-0 on Christian Brothers with 4 minutes left in the first quarter. But back to the conversation too. I mean, you've seen a lot of high school football. As we're talking to Paul Jones from former sports director at Fox 17, and obviously it's the playoffs right now. Some of the best football games, not just, at the high school level, high school, college, NFL, some of those football games I've ever seen have been state playoff high school football games. Is there one that comes to mind for you in all your years covering this that when people talk about game of the century pops up in your mind?
I have to think about that one for a little bit. It may go back to that Jalen Hurd game at Tucker Stadium. I don't remember the final score of that game, but I just remember it was a back-and-forth contest. And, Joe, help me if you can. Do you remember that game, the one I'm talking about, where Hurd went off?
But well, there was a game with Hurd and Jalen Reeves-Maben when the Clarksville Northeast played Beach. I think it was the semifinals where they each had like 300 yards that game. That was 2012. That's probably the most iconic game that I get asked about all the time. That game was – it was next level. But you know, you talk about these teams, you know, in the first and second round, hardly any upsets ever happen because of the first round and maybe some in the second. But you know, you go back to 2011-12, Beach was, you know, running wild on people. Brentwood Academy was good. Innsworth with a great run back then. So it was always kind of the same teams that are doing it now. There's a few that was sprinkled in, but still was a lot of fun back then.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned fun. I would be remiss if I didn't at least mention Catfish Pender while we're on here, guys. The atmosphere at Pearl Cone every time I went there was fantastic for one reason alone, and that was the man behind the mic up in the PA press box area, Catfish Pender. I mean, you heard him, and it's impossible not to just smile when you hear him call out some of the plays during the games. And I mean literally during the games, because sometimes he's talking while the play is happening.
And he's calling out. I just remember one time over pro, he was calling out formations, and it was just made me laugh because you got a PA guy in high school doing that. Oh, you know, it was so fantastic over there. Hey, Paul, before we let you go, and thanks for calling in, my favorite moment with you, and I think I was when I was working at Channel 4, because we always spied on you guys over at, you and Dave Foster over at Fox 17. You had a talk back with Kevin Creasy at Oakland one night, and he couldn't hear, and he called you Rudy. And I don't know if he did that on purpose, but he just called you. He said, "Thanks a lot, Rudy." I'm not sure Kevin Creasy knew where he was, and we just howled at Channel 4. That was hilarious.
Hey, there's no bigger honor in Nashville media, is there? Maybe you can be referred to as Joe Dubin, but maybe second best is being referred to as Rudy Kalis, the sports legend at WSMB. So I didn't take it in an offensive way at all, but I still laughed with Kevin about that a lot. In fact, to this day on Twitter, occasionally I'll make reference to hashtag Rudy.
That's great, man. Paul, as always, thanks for the kind words, man. We thank the world of you, and as always, call him whenever, man. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate you.
All right, keep up the great work, guys.
All right, thank you. Paul Jones at Fox 7. Hey, real quick, Elijah, we're going to Elijah Campbell phone lines. Let's bring in Judy Riddle, Waverly and East Nash. We've got a big update. Waverly, Judy, what's happening?
Guys, we have a lot going on in this first quarter. There's been a ton. Waverly starts out with the ball and does absolutely nothing on the first drive, throwing an interception on the third down play, trying to force it. But since then, it has been back and forth between these two teams. East Nashville easily going down and scoring. Their running back, Traquan Waters, had a huge run on the first play to set the tone. Zach Beard with another big run, and he had a play action and hit his wide receiver, DeAnthony Lanier, for the opening touchdown. But following that, Waverly responds, getting in with their run game. Their number one running back, Easton Elliott, just chomping away, getting 4-5 yards a carry, just nipping at this East Nashville defense. And on third and goal, they hit their guy on the play, number five. His name is Curtis Daniel for the touchdown. They got the 2-point conversion to go up 8-6. And as I was sitting here waiting on the line, they hit a huge play, East Nashville did, to Bobby Joyner, who did a 10-yard out, spun around the defender, and had nobody going the rest of the way down the sideline for a 35-yard touchdown. East Nashville is currently up right now after they just got their 2-point conversion, 14-14. The score is currently wrong on the scoreboard. I believe it is 12-8 right now. 12-8 after that. The scoreboard is wrong. They got the wrong scores up for the team. Oh, it is right. I'm sorry. 14-6.
Who's winning?
14. I am so sorry. 14-6 East Nashville.
14-6, East Nashville's up.
So, yes, 14-6, East Nashville.
Are we sure?
There's so much scoring in here, Joe. It's a barn burner here. This is why it's game of the week. I can't even keep up. I'm trying to.
Why don't you ask somebody next to you? So, before we go to the break, what's the real score?
It is 14-6, East Nashville.
Let's go.
All right, all right. Thanks, brother.
Yes.
Call back over the morning a little bit, Junie. Thank you.
I'll get to all at halftime. Talk to you later.
I still don't know if that's correct or not. All right, we will take another break with you till midnight. You listen to the Game Blitz here right here on 102.5, 106 for the game, brought to you by our friends at Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy.
We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Big Joe alongside Big Kenny and Elijah Campbell down the line. My goodness, we got some scores. They kicked off and started scoring immediately. So without further ado, let's get to the best thing that we do around here. That's a scoreboard. Hit it, Kenny. All right, here's the latest scores we got for you on the Game Blitz. Right now, Beach over Smyrna, 7-0. Brentwood Academy over Pope John Paul, 7-0. Cane Ridge out on Clarksville, 21-0. Coffee County leads Blackman, 10-0. Fayetteville over Dresden, 6-3. Friendship Christian out early on DCA, 7-0. Lewis County over Adamsville, 7-0. Lipscomb over Silverdale, 21-0. NBA over Christian Brothers, 14-0. Mount Juliet leads Page, 7-0. Mount Pleasant, 7. Riverside, 6. And a blocked punt. Lebanon now is tied with Oakland, 7-7. That game going to the second quarter. Woo-hoo! Pearl Cone over Hardin County, 7-0. We thank East Naturals over Waverly, 14-6. We're not sure because we got 17 score updates from that game. But we'll try to figure it out for you. Henry County over Portland, 21-0. You flip on here. Chattanooga Christian leads FRA 14-0. Upperman now trails East Hamilton 27-21. Knox Webb over Davidson Academy 7-0. Gordonsville leaves South Pittsburgh right now 14-0. That's the scores we got right now on the Game Blitz. But I got to tell you, Elijah, what stands out to me is what you just texted me is Lebanon hanging tough with Oakland. You know, we talked last week to Kevin Creasy, and he said, my goodness, he goes, you know, Riverdale, Lebanon, you don't want to play either one of those teams. Whoever you're going to get is going to, like you talk about, empty the clip. They're going to come after us with everything they got. They got nothing to lose. And so far, Lebanon is doing that. They're tied at 7 in the second quarter.
And, like, one of my favorite things about, you know, the anatomy of an upset, right, especially when you're playing a team like Oakland, which is a juggernaut, buzzsaw, whatever words you want to use to describe almost an unstoppable force, not only do you need to A, have a great game plan, B, need to execute said game plan, C, you need a stroke of luck. You need something to happen that's a little out of the ordinary, and if that means it's beamer ball and you're blocking punts like Lebanon did to get that touchdown to keep things tied up, you're able to manage the clock, find some big plays somewhere, whether it be defense forcing a turnover
right,
and making your offense have a shorter field, or in this instance, blocking a punt and scoring a touchdown, then you're able to keep yourself in it long enough to where you will create more luck later on. A lot of upsets that I remember seeing in high school football or college football or at any level, if a team hangs around and just gets one or two of those lucky oblong ball shaped bounces, then they can be in it, and wild stuff can happen if you just get yourself in that fourth quarter. And part of that is getting yourself through the first quarter. And if that means right, blocking the punt to keep it to where you're limiting Oakland's possessions and you're taking advantage of a rare Oakland mistake, then some weird voodoo can start happening. And that's what we got brewing right now. And another score, Joe, that you mentioned, Coffee County being up 10-0. We talked about with Coach Tigard last week what that environment's going to be like. Coffee County got their first playoff win in their school's history, another school that's been around since the Andrew Jackson administration. That place has to be rocking right now. All of Manchester's probably at that game. And
better be
10-0 early against one of the best offenses in the state. I mean, home field advantage is a real thing. And I think Blackman, I think some of the players are learning that the hard way. Coach Tigard knew.
Yep.
But it might not be one of those. It might be one of those things that you don't know until you get to experience it.
Absolutely. Let's go back to the phone lines. Brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises. Our man Lance Mackey at the Clarksville at Cane Ridge game. Lance, what's happening?
Well, I got a ton of updates for you guys since last time we spoke. We had that great interview, but I want to make sure I give the people everything that they missed.
Right.
So we are looking at maybe a running block here pretty quick. Cane Ridge, right after we got off the phone, after a quick three and out by Clarksville, senior quarterback Abdullah threw a 46-yard bomb for a touchdown to go up 14-0. And then on the next possession, it was a four and out. So Clarksville went for it on fourth down. Double reverse didn't work. And then another quick strike to Jadel Sane, who scored the second touchdown of the game, went up 21-0. And then after another three and out, or actually after another three and out and a 9-yard punt by Clarksville, they drove right back down. Senior quarterback Abdullah for Cane Ridge threw its fourth touchdown pass to senior Jalen Johnson, tight end. And then on the extra point, we had a fire drill, boys. And the kicker, who is also the quarterback, Abdullah, picks it up, runs it in, and it is 29-0, Cane Ridge.
Woo, wow. My goodness, Sarah. I Dominance. Thought that'd be a little closer for game. Lance, thanks for the update, brother.
Oh, well, actually, Cartsville just scored, so it's 29-6. But I'll call you with another update here very quickly.
Thanks for noticing that real quick.
Board.
Appreciate you. All right, thanks,
yeah,
Lance.
Yeah, we got to give some love to our listeners out in Clarksville and Montgomery County. So shout out there. I'll keep you all posted. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, we do. We love our friends up in Montgomery County. Oh, Elijah, thanks, Lance. I love this. I love it when we're – you can hang the phone up, Lance. I love it when we are correct because right now in the second quarter, White County, Nolensville tied at 14.
Yes, they're hanging around.
They are hanging around.
See, like that's another thing. And how much you gonna bet White County is yet to throw a pass in this game? I mean, if they're able to score on Nolensville, I mean, like Franklin County put up 30 against White County last week. But I mean, if they can shorten the game, they can hang in there. And that's one team that we like, you know, for a fun upset bid. But The Lebanon-Oakland game, like we mentioned, you talked about special teams, Joe, and how important that was to getting Lebanon in this game. Well, they returned the ensuing kick to the 22-yard line and scored two plays later. And Eric Taylor's 7-yard touchdown run, Oakland leads 14-7 for a quick update on that. But this Nolensville-White County game has gotten a lot more interesting. I am excited to keep tabs on that one.
You know, we talked earlier. I mean, Nolensville might win that game, but it's going to be like 65-60. I mean, it's just how that game goes and happen real quick. Our friend Bart Barker with an update sends us in. Pearl Cone just scored again. They're on top of Hardin County 14-7. So Hardin County sticking around there. That's going to be a good battle. I mean, you know, Pearl Cone is a team each week, and, you know, we move up to 4A, and we talk about them all the time, but I mean, I think this might – we say it every year, but that's such a good program that Coach Bernetti's got over there. I'd love to see Pearl Cone go all the way and bring that football home a few weeks down to Chattanooga.
What I call a couple weeks ago, this is the revenge tour. The whole season is a Pearl Cone revenge tour, baby, and they're taking souls and names right now. they had a brutal schedule to start the season. The first two games, Cane Ridge and MBA,
yes!
Two of the best teams, potential two state winners, let's be honest here, and lost the first one 17-14 on a field goal at the gun. And then MBA, you know, beat them pretty good. But since then, 58-0 win over Hillwood, 35-7 win over Creekwood, 55-7 win at Lawrence County, a 45-0 win against Tullahoma, the team that was responsible for their only two losses last season in their earlier playoff exit, 77-0 win against Glencliff, 35-23 against Marshall County, 19-6 against Greenbrier, 43-2 against Montgomery Central, and then 38-0 against Jackson Southside. You didn't hear many close scores when I reeled off all their games, Joe Dubin. That's because they're going on a revenge tour, and they are marking off the names with red ink on that list each time, because this is a team that was good enough to win it last year, more than good enough to win it last year. They just couldn't get past Tullahoma, and now this team knows that Tullahoma is out of the way. 4A is theirs for the taking, and they've been an absolute buzzsaw this season. I'm surprised Hardin County has given them the game that they are.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think the problem with Pearl Cone, Elijah, we take them for granted because they're always so good.
Yeah, consistently. It's one of the more constants in the state at any level.
But just always so good. All right, we'll take another break. We got scores coming in fast and furious. We'll get them all to you on the Elijah Campbell scoreboard. You're listening to The Game Blitz, brought to you by our friends at Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back to The Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy. What's going on right now? Elijah, as we went to the break, the update came through. Nolensville just scored on White County. They're up now 21-14. As we told you before the game started, we're going to toot our horn again. That was going to be a high-scoring game because White County has scored on everybody this year. They might not win every game, but my goodness, they're putting up points. They're like, they remind me of the old Golden State basketball team in the 90s with Chris Mullen. TM, what was it called?
Run TMC. Is what they called themselves.
Yeah, Run TMC. Yeah. Tim Hardaway.
Chris Mullen, Tim Hardaway, and Mitch Richmond.
Yes, yeah. And then they would, you know, games would be like 148 to 140, and they'd either win or lose that. They never won like 190. So we just did, that's going to be a high-scoring game tonight, and that's what we got right there.
Or Loyola Marymount of the early 1990s with Paul Westhead, the guru of Go. They used to put up 160 in some games. Like, they would flirt with getting close to 200. I mean, all getting out and running. And that's – White County's kind of similar. I mean, I'm looking up, you know, their schedule and their results this year. The first game of the season, they scored 48, then 22, 54, 59, 43, 21, 28, 35, 46, 53, 49. That's a lot of high scores there, Joe Dubin. And some of those games, I mean, can't forget one of the best ones this year when they played at Cookeville, big rivalry game. 59-54 was the final in that game, and that was a regulation score.
My goodness. Look, we're going to bring you all things sports right now. you're a college basketball guy. I just got that Jeff Goodman just tweeted out that Vandy just lost to Southern Miss at home, that Vandy is ranked 321 in the Southern Miss is ranked 321 in the in the Ken Pom ratings. I'm guessing this is a bad loss for Vanderbilt.
It is about as ugly of a loss. And now, obviously, I'm doing the show, you know, from 6 to midnight on Fridays. I've got, thankfully, ESPN Plus grants me the access because I write for bustingbrackets.com. Definitely give us some views because it helps pay me the more you click on those stupid links. So if you see it on Twitter, click on it. But I've been writing about college basketball all week, and I wrote some positive stuff about Vanderbilt against Memphis because they played a really great second half, and I saw that score on my ESPN app, screenshotted it and tweeted it and said, I take back everything, because if you only muster 48 points against one of the worst teams in Division I college basketball, it's pretty shameful. I mean, I'm going to watch it later just because now I'm just curious how it happened. I mean, did the entire starting five get the flu and have to miss the game? Oof. I don't know, but that's that's as ugly as a loss. We're not going to have any ugly losses like that tonight in high school football. I guarantee it. That's the worst one you're going to see.
Good. Smith County has now scored on Fairview Lip 7-0. That game over at Smith County. You said earlier, I've never been to that school and that stadium. What makes it special up at Smith County?
I think what makes it special is that it's one of those that it's on like an elevated surface. Like the parking lot, you kind of have to drive up a little hill to get to. I think the one game I called for DTC back in the day, it was a Smith County game, and I forgot who they played, but a helicopter came in. I think it was Smith County DeKalb, and a helicopter came in to deliver the game ball, and the place was absolutely packed. It's a very unique venue. And it's kind of in the middle of nowhere, right? Carthage is a little off the beaten path, off I-40 going eastbound here from Nashville. And it's a really small town, but it's one of those that is like a quintessential small town high school football atmosphere. Like they're crazy about it because Smith County's always had some really good teams. I mean, I don't think they've ever won a state championship, but I know they've gotten to like a few semifinals, and they're one of those teams that's usually one of the best teams in the Upper Cumberland every single season, no matter who's coaching. They've always just had a really good football program. So those people have been going to these games for, you know, decades, right? I mean, there are people that have been that you can tell that probably don't have any children or grandchildren on the team, but like they just go to those games every Friday night. And it's one of those really cool things that, like, obviously you'll never have a college or pro sport in Carthage, Tennessee, right? This is their team, and the community shows out for it regardless of who's coaching, who's on the team, or even how good they are, even on some quote unquote down years they have. They always produce really great attendance numbers, and it's just one of the things you just have to go experience. For anyone who loves that small town high school football feel, that's as good as it gets in the state, in all honesty.
White County has scored again. Malachi Dowell,
buddy,
a 50-yard touchdown. It's now 21-21. That game in the second quarter. But that's going exactly like we thought, because you just rattled off the scores there earlier of what they'd done. And I don't think nothing against Nolensville. I just don't think they've seen an offense like this where they're just going to run down your throat. Usually that, you know, in that division, you know, Page throws a lot, teams that throw a lot. But White County, my goodness, Elijah, what a game this is going to be.
Oh, Joe, I am cackling with that score right now just because, I mean, isn't it like one of the biggest shames in the state that Malachi Dowell, according to 24/7, only has three offers, Tennessee Tech, Maryville, and another D3. I forgot which one it was, but this kid should be a D1 football player. He is a D1 level athlete. He is a, like, and I don't care what offense you put him in. Like, someone who's this talented has to be playing somewhere, man, because 50, I don't know how many 50-yard touchdown runs he's had this year, but every game that we've monitored, whether it be that Mount Juliet epic they played early in the season or that Green Hill epic, which he left early because of an injury, but early in the game, one of the few touchdowns, I mean, he was a big touchdown run. In the Cookeville game, I mean, he's had so many explosive plays this year that at any point in time, he can just bust open a play for a 60, 70-yard run. He is one of the best shows in high school football, and he's four coming into the game. He was 452 yards away from Jalen Hurd's record. And we were like, oh, there's no way, you know, he breaks it tonight. Well, he might just mess around and find out how close he can get because, like we said, he's a video game out there with how well he runs the football. That's incredible. This is so much fun. That's a great, great game.
That's going to be a lot of fun to watch. East Robertson, our friend Chase, Coach Brex over there at East Robertson, who loves to call on the show. They're up over Bledsoe right
most
now.
Most enthusiastic.
Yes, they're up over Bledsoe right now, 7-0. That'd be another boy. You talk about, we had him on the show, a coach takes over a football team basically April 1st. You miss all the winter workouts, and you got a couple weeks of spring practice. Mm-hmm. The job he's done at East Robertson to get them where they are might be the best coaching job in the state of Tennessee. And I'm saying it because I'm biased because he calls it the show, but a hell of a job.
It really is. And then you take into the context, they lost to a really good Macon County team in a close game to start the season and then just casually reel off 10 straight wins. I mean, this East Robertson team has been such a fun revelation this year. They lost Taylor Groves from last year. But there's other members of the Groves family who are still there this year that are incredible athletes, right? Those kids are fantastic athletes. And what they've done this year is absolutely remarkable to be able to win these games in a row, bounce back after that season one loss, and then get better. They've just gotten better as the season goes along. Bledsoe County is no pushover. Bledsoe County has played in a region that was really competitive with teams from East Tennessee, like Meigs County was in that region. They gave Westmoreland all Westmoreland could handle. Polk County had a spectacular year, and of course Chattanooga Tyner won that region going away, but those final three spots were basically tied with four teams for those three spots going into the last week, and the three I've just mentioned were obviously the survivors of it. And Bledsoe County, really, really good team with an impressive resume this year, so that's one to look for tonight. I expect East Robertson to win, but that's not going to be easy.
No, I totally agree with you. Another team we talk about, we haven't talked about a lot this year because there's been so many good football, but we're going to do it now. Lewis County, I mean, they're up over Adamsville right now, 21-0. They're on a collision course with their Mount Pleasant or Riverside, but that's a heck of a job Lewis County's done this year. They're always a good program. They knock off Adamsville. They can get the win tonight and host a game next week in the quarterfinals against Mount Pleasant or Riverside. We get a lot of people listening to the show down in Lewis County, and what a great job in two ways. Again, we talk every week about this, Elijah. I know we spend a lot of time on 6A and 5A because those are the teams located a lot around the Nashville area. But there's some amazing football being played in 1, 2, and 3A football, and Lewis County is a prime example of that.
They are, and that's a team that has quietly, gone about their business and has been dominant this year. I mean, I think they only have one loss. That's right. They lost in week two to Fayetteville, who is my favorite to win 1A. Fayetteville or McKenzie, those two teams I feel like are on a collision course. One of those teams is going to win 1A, but that was their only hiccup this year. And then all they've done since is win football games. Of course, they're playing Adamsville tonight, but man, like they've been a lot of fun, and they're obviously one of the teams we haven't gotten to talk about a ton this year. And of course, I have my biases in 2A. I have so much family. Half my entire family lives in Jamestown, Tennessee, so I hear about the York Dragons all the time. They're at 14-0 at half against South Green, but 2A's got a ton of talent, and 2A is incredibly wide open as well. Hampton's playing against Monterey tonight. that one's a game that I think Monterey can honestly pull off an upset. Hampton lost in the state title game last year, but I wouldn't be surprised if Monterey was able to pull off that upset. Still love the Mount Pleasant Riverside game matchup. That one's going to go down to the wire for sure. And of course, I think Westmoreland can hang around against Tyner tonight. Like, Tulane has a lot of very intriguing matchups tonight. And if you want to talk about parity, that might be the most parity filled classification in high school football this year. It's been awesome.
I totally agree. All right, we'll take another break. We got 4 more hours of high school football to go. We got a lot of fun for you tonight, my friends. You're listening to Game Blitz, brought to you by our friends at Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.